Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Burness, and I'm joined again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Well, growing up in a Jewish family, I believed that the God of the Christians was a foreign God, a completely different God than the God of the Torah and the prophets or the Old Testament. Jesus was the God of the Christians, but our God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And I understood them to be two completely different gods. It sort of felt like a scandal that Christians were using the God of Israel to create another religion and, in fact, another God. But after becoming a believer in Jesus, in Yeshua, all that changed. I understood that the Old and New Testament is one fully connected story about one God. In fact, the same God.
And you know, Jonathan, one of our ongoing commitments here at Jewish Voice, especially on this television show, is not only to share the Hebrew roots of your Christian faith, but also to explain that the Bible, Old and New Testament, that we're engaging with on every program is really one book. It's one story, Old and New Testament together from cover to cover. And yet, part of the challenge is, as you were explaining, the Jewish community and the Christian community seem to have such a gap between us in our understanding of this very important book. And what do we do about that?
They've become distinctly different religions with very little in common.
Right.
Completely different religious leaders, holidays, and so on. What we want to dig in today is this misconception. We want to welcome back Troy Wallace today to discuss this. Troy is our VP of Congregation and Leadership Development here at Jewish Voice, and he studied this topic for many years and has a lot of great insights and examples that will help you to better understand this topic. So Troy, to start off with, talk about the perception of each group, how they see God and their historical viewpoint.
Sure. I think it's interesting, actually, right in the Ten Commandments, there's this idea in the Jewish world of not making an image of God. So you can't see him, you can't know him. Of course, the idea there is not to create idols. That's really what's going on. But so, and then there's a Christian worldview of Jesus becomes God in the form of a man. Like, that's a scandal in a Jewish worldview. And the Christians also sort of look at the Old Testament like, there's this angry figure, and most people think of that as like the father's angry, and then the son shows up and everything gets nice again. But really, it's the same God. Like, right. This issue of Jesus being the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who got born as a man. Like, that's a scandal in the Jewish worldview. And the idea that Jesus is somehow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that means these characteristics that we see in the Torah, well, how do we connect those to Jesus? And those two, those misconceptions sometimes are hard to close, but that's what we're hoping we'll dig into a little bit today.
It's very challenging because Judaism is pretty much based on what we don't believe. We don't believe that Christian thing. It's sad, but
right.
That's what we're dealing with. That's our challenge.
Sure. And maybe you're listening at home going, wait a minute, Jesus, the God of Israel, you're already losing me. But I want to draw our attention, gentlemen, to a verse here. This is the first chapter of the Gospel of John, okay, in verse 18. And Troy, we need you to explain this to us.
Okay.
All right? It says, no one's ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. No one's ever seen God, right? And we have this idea that the Old Testament's about every time we see the Lord appeared, we're thinking to ourselves, or sort of filling in the blank, God the Father. And then Jesus is, you know, the Son is revealed in the New Testament. But if no one's ever seen God, then who is it that keeps showing up throughout the Old
Testament.
Well,
and I think John really is the one of the gospel writers who deals with this issue the most, Ezra. And really what he's saying is no one who's ever seen a divine appearance. So let's think from Genesis to Malachi then. Okay. Every time someone's seen a divine appearance, it's not been God the Father. It's been the Son who's declaring the Father to mankind. Like, that's a really hard thing maybe for a Christian to think about. Wait a second. Abraham had lunch with a pre-incarnate son. Jacob wrestled with a pre-incarnate son. Who did Daniel and Ezekiel fall down dead in front of? These divine appearances, John's telling us that that's Jesus. So the ability for us to reconcile. Now, John's language is the Son there, and he's talking about Jesus. We have to be able to fill in that gap. And really, guys, I think that's what we as Messianic Jewish leaders and teachers bring to the body, is the ability to reconcile that in a way where the message of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus, the Son, is the protagonist. Like, this is a huge contribution that we're making to reconcile the Jewish and the Christian worldviews about the nature of God.
So what we know, Jesus is born of a woman, Miriam, we say in English, Mary, around 0 AD. But what I'm hearing you say, Troy, is Jesus doesn't appear to the people of Israel for the first time at 0 AD. He's actually following throughout the history of Israel.
He's the guy that eats lunch with Abraham. He's the guy that closes Noah in the ark. He's not born yet. Like, he's not confined to human flesh. That's the mystery of the incarnation. But he's there as the figure that all the patriarchs and matriarchs of Israel, even that Hagar, Ishmael's mom, they interact with him, and then he gets born. Fascinating.
I'm thinking of dozens of times in the Old Testament where we see the Lord appeared, and you're saying it's the God of Israel, it's Jesus pre-incarnate appearing.
That's what the disciples are saying. That's what Jesus gets killed for. I mean, think about John 8. There's so much language there. It's really incredible.
Troy, I agree with you. I see this so clearly, as do other believers that have had their eyes open to this. But talk about what about rabbis that have had these texts for generation after generation? How do they deal with the reality of these pre-incarnate messianic visitations?
Well, you know, oftentimes, Jonathan, in the text of the Torah, it says something like Malak Adonai in Hebrew, or the messenger of the Lord, or it says the word of the Lord appeared. And so they're saying it's an emanation. It's not quite God himself. And usually then there's a way logically to sort of pick that apart. But the interesting thing is, oftentimes this figure gets worshipped by the forefathers. Like, they fall down on their knees, or the prophets in many cases, they fall down and start worshiping. But we know from the Ten Commandments that no one can get overt worship except the Lord, the God of Israel himself. So Jonathan, again, there's some logic that we can start to unpack and make it mean something slightly other than, but if we go back to the Ten Commandments, no one can get worshipped except the God of Israel directly. Like, that's the thing that makes this whole understanding so extraordinary.
I'm just thinking about the visitation that Abraham receives. And it's not just worshiping. First of all, the angel of the Lord is eating.
Right.
Right? So there's a fully human characteristic.
Correct.
About this angel that's not just an angel. And then this angel's declaring, I will destroy Sodom.
Totally.
I will. Well, and then sometimes we have the Tetragrammaton used, that this is Adonai.
Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh.
This is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh.
And it's interesting, in that example, Jonathan, the text says three men appeared. And then we know later that Adonai, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, stays with Abraham to have a conversation, and two angels go down into Sodom and Gomorrah. So the angels also appearing as men there, but Abraham falls down in worship in response to a man that shows up at his tent. And then they have a dialogue about what the Lord's intending to do in terms of judgment. Like, that's not a messenger.
It's a bargaining. It's
a great text.
They're bargaining, and he's clearly talking to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh here.
Yes. which
it's,
we see
remarkable...
the prophets also interacting with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh directly. So, and Jacob's wrestling with this one whose his name is glorious.
Right. I love that passage, right? He says, you know, what's your name? My name's Yaakov, deceiver. Well, now you're going to be Israel, the one who strives with God and prevails. And then he says, what's your name? And he goes, don't ask my name.
We could talk about this all day. We need to take a short break. Our desire is to proclaim Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah to the Jew first and then to the Gentile or the nations. There's communities all over the world who need to receive the Word of God, and we're inviting you to partner with us today to send Bibles out to Jewish communities in Africa and for your own personal study of the Scriptures as well. We want to get our study Bible into your hands. Listen for details right now.
The hero of the New Testament is also the hero of the Old Testament. Jesus, Yeshua, is the God of Israel. To say thank you for your gift of $40 or more, we will send you the book, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham? By Asher Intrader, which chronicles several incidents connecting Christianity to the Torah, the land, and the people of Israel. We'll also include the DVD, Jacob Becomes Israel. It's a classic message from Jonathan, with surprising insight about the all-night wrestling match between Jacob and the pre-incarnate Yeshua. Even better, become a new Shalom partner with a monthly gift of $50 or more, and we'll send you that book and DVD, plus the Jewish Voice Study Bible with book introductions, footnotes, day in the life articles, full color graphics, and other unique features gathered exclusively for friends of Jewish Voice. Call, write, or go online. New Shalom partners will benefit richly from these resources. As a Shalom partner, every month you'll support our work, which will include providing Bibles to individuals and families around the world who don't have one. Call this toll-free number, become a monthly Shalom partner, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. Give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Sharing the Bible is one of the best ways to celebrate and honor God's faithfulness in your own life. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. Before Ezra, Troy, and I look more at the God of Israel, we here at Jewish Voice are so thankful for you and your commitment to helping us share the gospel with Jewish people and their neighbors around the world. Your ongoing support of this ministry is so valued and so vital. We want to say thank you. Well, this is a really interesting topic, and there's so much to cram in. But let's just stay for a few more minutes on these pre-incarnate visitations of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Ezra, give us another one.
Troy, I'm thinking of the passage in Joshua, right? Joshua is to take Jericho, but he's afraid. And then the angel of the Lord's armies, it says, appears. And as we were talking about earlier, that Joshua falls down and worships. But as a people, we don't worship angels. So what's going on here?
Well, I love this passage. It says the prince of the Lord's armies, like the ruler of the Lord's army shows up to Joshua. Joshua, like a good warrior, says, wait a second, are you for us or for our enemies?
Right.
And his answer is, no.
Yeah.
His answer is no.
Right.
The question is, whose side are you on? And Joshua's response is then to fall down in worship. The prince of the Lord's army shows up. Well, you know, we see a sniff of that in Yeshua's interaction with Peter in Matthew 26. Remember, Peter's response to Jesus being arrested is to pull out his sword and start fighting. And Jesus says to Peter, wait a second, I could call down 12 legions of angels. Like, Peter, I'm the prince of the Lord's armies. What are you doing here? I don't have an authority problem, Peter. This is the cup that I have to drink.
Wow.
And so there's this parallel between Jesus in Matthew 26 and who Joshua encounters in Joshua 5.
Wow.
It's so rich, Ezra.
Right.
Then that's just one among so many.
It's one story. So speak to those in our audience, and I'm going to give you an example. I'm thinking of the issue of the land of Israel, right? We believe that God's given the land of Israel to the people of Israel because of his faithfulness, not ours, as kind of this, as this everlasting possession. And we hear that, we see that in the Old Testament, and we go, but what is Jesus and everything Jesus had to say? What does that have to do one with the other? Well, where does Jesus come into the promises to Israel?
Well, it's interesting. The promises to Israel, like that this people are set apart, Ezra. The promises to Israel, the Torah itself, like it's part of what God gave to the people of Israel. And then there's the land, like your point there. Oftentimes, there's a disconnect for Christians.
Sure.
They say, well, you know, we're not the people of Israel. We're the people of Abraham by faith.
Right.
Torah doesn't apply to us exactly the same way as the Jewish people. We know that from the writings of the disciples and the apostles. Mm-hmm. And well, what about the land? Like, what does that have to do with me? I love the Lord and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I live in Georgia.
Right.
Like, the gap there is that I think Christians, in understanding that Jesus is the one who gave the promises to Abraham, that like a pre-incarnate Christ is the one that wrestled with Jacob and changed his name to Israel, uh-huh. that the pre-incarnate Son, who we call Jesus, is the one that appeared to Moses and gave him the Torah. He's the one that Joshua encountered before Joshua went to take the land of Israel as the possession and fulfillment of the promises to Abraham.
Right.
Like, that ties all believers of every background or nationality, all people who consider themselves Christians, they're knit into that story,
right.
because the one that they worship, who is their Savior, is the one who cut those covenants. He's the one that gave those promises.
Right.
It's really, I mean, it has everything to do
right.
with our Christian faith or a Christian's faith to connect to the people of Israel, the Torah of Israel, the land of Israel, because the one we worship is the one who delivered those revelations,
yeah.
delivered those understandings, yeah. made those promises.
Right. I'm thinking of, you know, the verse where Jesus says, I haven't come to abolish the law.
100%.
I've come to fulfill it.
Right.
That's becoming 3D for me now as you're talking. I hope it is for you at home too.
Yeah, and the word that keeps coming to my mind, Troy, is continuity.
Right.
Because again, being raised with something that chops up history.
Right.
This is our history, that's their history.
Right.
Never the two shall meet. But there's really continuity here. The same God, the same message.
There is, and Jonathan, it's interesting. We were just talking about Christians and how this connects them to a pre-incarnate Jesus,
sure.
or the God of Israel in a body.
Right, right.
Like, it connects them, but it's also true for the Jewish people.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, we, as the Jewish people, will say, well, we don't need Jesus.
Right.
We have the promises to Israel. We have the promises and the covenant of the Torah.
Right.
And we have the promises of the land of Israel.
Right.
But if it's the pre-incarnate Messiah, who we call Jesus, that's the one that cut those promises, Jonathan, in terms of continuity, that ties the people of Israel to Jesus, a pre-incarnate, the God of Israel who became a man. Wow. It ties them also to him.
You know,
like,
Troy,
you can't get it.
I can't get the smile off my face because we talk a lot about the Jewish roots of the faith here in the on this program. Mm-hmm. But the takeaway usually is, oh, I'm going to get a shofar.
Right.
I'll get a talus. I'll have a Passover or go to a Passover.
Sure.
But it's so much more than that.
Right.
And again, Jonathan, I think we talked about it already. But guys, I feel like this is one of our greatest contributions to both Christian and Jewish understanding is who is this guy that appears in the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the same guy who's the protagonist, who's advocating on behalf of Israel and advocating on behalf of the nations in the world we live in and in the heavenly realm.
Right.
He's our God.
Troy, I'm thinking of one of the biggest and most enduring, really, objections of the Jewish community to the gospel, to the messiahship of Jesus. And it's this idea, as you said, Jonathan, we're defining it by what we don't believe. To be Jewish is to believe that Jesus isn't the Messiah. That's sort of the echo chamber. That's the narrative. And we have this idea, Jesus, the God of the Christians, what has he to do with us, the Jewish people? And yet I'm hearing you say, and what we're talking about and seeing in the scriptures, more importantly, is Jesus actually has been intimately involved, appearing again and again, walking with the Jewish people throughout our history as a people.
Yeah, and Ezra, it's funny, that's our language today in the institution of the Jewish people about Jesus. But you know, we also see that in the life of Jesus in John chapter 8. He's saying things like, before Abraham was, I am. Right. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And the religious leaders they pick up stones to stone him. And he says, well, for what are you stoning me? What action? Right. And they say, you, being a man, are making yourself out to be God. Like, that was a scandal then, and it's a scandal now. In some ways, it's this incredible reality of what we believe as those who follow Yeshua. Mm-hmm. We believe that the God of Israel, the agent of creation, John 1, yeah, he condensed himself to a person. He grew inside Mary's womb. And not only did he submit himself to humanity in that sense, but then he submitted himself to death, even death on a cross. Paul calls the cross a scandal. Why does he say it's a scandal? Because the God of Israel not only became a man, he subjected himself to human authority. Actually, human authority under Pilate. Like the one world government pagan representative, Yeshua submitted himself to that authority. Yeah. Like the God of Israel submitted himself to that.
That's the scandal, right? Like we think of the scandal being that the Christians worship a man and you can't worship a man, you have to worship God. You're flipping the script and saying, no, the scandal is that the God of Israel, the God of the universe, condensed himself into human form. That's the scandal.
And not only that, but he died on a cross to make atonement for sins, not just for Israel, but for all nations everywhere, and was raised again from the dead on the third day.
But you know, it wasn't a secret. It's all contained in the Torah, the writings, and the prophets.
Right.
So the foundation is there. The early disciples, the apostles, expounded on these things without the New Testament, because it didn't exist. It's all in the Jewish scripture. We're so thankful that God has opened our eyes to the truth and opened your eyes. And I hate to break away from this topic, but when the three of us return, we're going to pray together for you, for your family and unity, for all who call upon the name of Yeshua, Jesus, shall be saved, and I'll include delivered, healed, and receive the promises of God. Before that, I want you to hear about an opportunity to spread the Word of God, the Bible, to Jewish communities in Africa, and how to get your own personal study Bible from Jewish Voice that will highlight the Jewish roots of your faith. So stay tuned.
The hero of the New Testament is also the hero of the Old Testament. Jesus, Yeshua, is the God of Israel. To say thank you for your gift of $40 or more, we will send you the book, Who Ate Lunch with Abraham, by Asher Intrader, which chronicles several incidents connecting Christianity to the Torah, the land, and the people of Israel. We'll also include the DVD, Jacob Becomes Israel. It's a classic message from Jonathan, with surprising insight about the all-night wrestling match between Jacob and the pre-incarnate Yeshua. Even better, become a new Shalom partner with a monthly gift of $50 or more, and we'll send you that book and DVD, plus the Jewish Voice Study Bible with book introductions, footnotes, day-in-the-life articles, full-color graphics, and other unique features gathered exclusively for friends of Jewish Voice. Call, write, or go online. New Shalom partners will benefit richly from these resources. As a Shalom partner, every month, you'll support our work, which will include providing Bibles to individuals and families around the world who don't have one. Call this toll-free number, become a monthly Shalom partner, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. Give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Sharing the Bible is one of the best ways to celebrate and honor God's faithfulness in your own life. Thank you so much.
Well, we just have a short time left, but we always take time at the end to pray for your needs because God answers prayer and we care about you. And so we want to join our faith with yours. So just let's reach out in faith together. We're two or three agreeing, earth is touching anything, it shall be done. Amen. Troy, our guest of honor, would you lead us in prayer?
I'd love to. Lord, we just say thank you for our friends who joined us today. Lord, we ask that you would open up their understanding of the Bible. Amen. Lord, it all comes from you, your written word, your word that you speak to us today. Lord, we ask that you'd touch them, that you'd meet with them, that you'd open their eyes and their understanding.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray for their families. Lord, meet them in areas of need where they have a need for healing, need for restoration. Maybe they have a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter who needs deliverance from addictions. Lord, we just ask that you'd break in.
Amen.
To the lives of Amen. Our friends and their families, yes. Lord, wherever they're dwelling around the world. And we pray it believing that the God of Israel, who became a man, Jesus, did everything in his death, resurrection, and is his current intercession to restore life and to heal and to bless. And so, in his name, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Hey, if you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv, and you'll find resources. There are lots of resources that will help you. You can send your prayer requests right through the website and know that people will be praying for you by name. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that we care about you, that God cares about you, and again, we'll pray for your needs by name. So log on today. Well, as we close our program, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The word is shalom. Pray for God to complete his plan for Israel, for the Palestinian people. He truly has a plan, and he's asking us to pray for that to be fulfilled. And says if you'll do that, you'll prosper. I want to thank our friend Troy Walls for joining us today. And on behalf of Ezra Benjamin and myself, we want to say shalom. God bless you. I was recently made aware of an alarming statistic. Listen to this now. 6 out of 10 Americans today don't currently have a will or trust, and another 30 to 35% are either poorly written or outdated. If you're in this situation, and you're a Jewish Voice giver, I have some good news for you. Because of your financial support to our ministry, we're able to provide you with independent, professional advice to help you develop a will or trust at no cost to you. If you already have a will or trust, you can have it reviewed so that you can have peace of mind that you are being a good steward in providing for your family and children. Go to jvmi.org/trust to learn more.